You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Tuesday, December 23rd. The following stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Commercial crab pots are rigged and ready to go around the Columbia River and Willapa Bay ports in anticipation of the season opener. Last week, the Tri-State Management Group approved the commercial season to begin as Dungeness crab meat yield tested at over 28% off the Long Beach Peninsula, well above the required 23%. From Clipson Beach, including Willapa Bay, down to Cape Falcon, the 73-hour pre-soak begins at 8 a.m. December 28th. Hold inspections start at noon December 30th, and start date is set for 9 a.m. on December 31st. From Clipson Beach to the Queets River, including Gray's Harbor, the start date is 9 a.m. on January 4th. The Washington State Legislature is just weeks away from convening for its 2026 session. Dozens of bills have already been filed ahead of time as lawmakers look to make the most of the shortened time frame they'll be working with. One bill, pre-filed by State Senator Jeff Wilson of Longview, is aimed at protecting elected officials from political violence. The proposed legislation cites the assassination of a Minnesota legislator and her husband earlier this year, as well as the attempted assassination of another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife. The bill would create an optional emergency notification system that would send out an alert when an enrolled public official contacts a 911 emergency communication system, and when a targeted threat to any public official has been confirmed. Another bill, sponsored by Democratic Representative Mari Levitt, would expand access to the Early Childhood Education and Assistance Program for military families. And one bill has been proposed in light of conduct by masked officers with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The bill would prohibit on-duty law enforcement officers from wearing a facial covering while interacting with the public. Several projects in Southwest Washington won federal funding last month as part of the deal to end the longest shutdown of the federal government in U.S. history. U.S. Representative Marie Glusenkamp-Perez announced the funding last week that she had originally requested as part of Congress's Community Project Funding Program. Just over $1 million is going to Pacific County Hospital District No. 2 as part of its effort to replace its medical clinic at Willapa Harbor Hospital in South Bend. A project for repairs at the City of Raymond's wastewater treatment plant will receive $950,000. The 12-year-old facility has begun sinking into the ground. The Shoalwater Bay Indian Tribe will receive over $100,000 to develop a comprehensive safety action plan for the Shoalwater Bay Reservation. Other projects district-wide remain in consideration for congressionally directed funding, including $2.7 million for dredging at the Port of Chinook. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Preparing for natural disasters can be a daunting task. The recent flooding across Washington State and in parts of Oregon is a good reminder of how important it is to have an emergency kit on hand. KNKX reporter Mitch Borden started putting together his own kit and brings us this story.
Earlier this year, when I moved to Seattle from West Texas, I started reading up about huge earthquakes and tsunamis. It didn't take long for me to get overwhelmed. But after recent flooding, it felt like it was time to assemble an emergency kit. So I went to a Goodwill with KNKX's Izzy Ross to look for supplies.
Probably wouldn't want like a pleather blazer.
No, I don't think a pleather blazer is what we're looking for.
Probably more like this like winter coat.
Yeah. So a down or...
Oh, L.L. Bean. The goal of this shopping trip was to find affordable warm clothing and some sturdy shoes to throw in a go bag.
Okay, there's boots up there.
Yeah, and there's plenty of tennis shoes.
Lots of tennis shoes.
I always tell folks, just start looking at home and going through your cupboards, going through your closets to see what you have.
Tay Thatch is with Seattle's Emergency Management Department. According to her, gathering supplies doesn't have to be expensive, and you can just start with the basics.
Food, water, medicine, and then continue to add when you can, and just keep it simple.
The state recommends having enough emergency supplies to last for 2 weeks. That includes about 14 gallons of water per person. Officials also recommend having a grab-and-go kit that can get you through a few days. This could be a bag that has a flashlight, some shelf-stable meals, copies of important documents, even a book you might enjoy. Basically, stuff you can easily pick up as you head out the door.
When the ground starts shaking, you don't want to be running to the kitchen, to your bedroom, to gather those items. You want to be able to just grab that bag.
I still don't have everything for my kit, but Thatch says that's okay.
It does not have to be perfect, but the important thing is to start.
Now in my apartment, a backpack sits quietly by the door, filled with supplies, just in case. I'm Mitch Borden, reporting.
Turning now to Oregon, attorneys for the state are asking a judge to block construction of a federal immigration detention center in Newport. As Dirk Vanderhart reports, the Trump administration's plans for the coastal city remain murky.
Evidence has mounted since November that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is eyeing Newport. Some federal contractors have inquired about leasing land near the airport or trucking away human waste. Others have posted jobs for ICE detention officers and medical personnel. The federal government has declined to share details of possible plans, but the Oregon Department of Justice says a detention center can't move forward. In an updated lawsuit filed Friday, the state argued that the federal government hasn't met legal requirements to build a detention facility. Those include publishing an environmental impact statement and running its proposal past state officials. The state is asking a judge to block any planned facility until those requirements are met. I'm Dirk Vanderhart, reporting.
A provision of the One Big Beautiful Bill requires that the Bureau of Land Management increase its production of timber by 20 million board feet nationwide each year through 2034. KLCC's Zach Ziegler reports that the Bureau exceeded that amount this year in Oregon alone.
BLM data show that timber sales through its state office in Oregon represent more than 290 million board feet, an increase of nearly 67 million from last fiscal year. Data dating back to 2005 show this year was the third highest for timber sales in the state over that time frame. The years that topped the current year were 2019 and 2021. The sales represent $63 million worth of timber. The BLM's Oregon-Washington field office said it offered 15% more timber sales in this fiscal year than it did last year. I'm Zach Ziegler reporting.
A $3.5 million upgrade of Classic Street in Manzanita is underway. The project is adding a new water line and stormwater management for the street. Once it's paved, there will also be a new pedestrian pathway added. The majority of the funding for the project is coming from a grant from the Oregon State Legislature, which aimed to facilitate the development of the 60-unit Spruce Point affordable apartment complex. Manzanita City Manager Layla Amon says the Classic Street project's infrastructure elements between Lineta Avenue and Acarney City Boulevard should be completed by early January, with paving to occur once weather allows. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. The National Weather Service says that over the next few days, waves of snow showers, gusty coastal winds, and a potential for strong inland winds may impact travel, particularly over mountain passes, on the coast, and along the I-5 corridor. This will create potentially hazardous travel conditions across the region and may bring additional power outages. Travelers crossing the Cascade should expect slick roads and reduced visibility. A strong wind event is possible Wednesday, with a chance of gusts up to 70 miles per hour. Recent heavy rainfall has left soils saturated across western Oregon and Washington. Combined with strong winds, this increases the likelihood of downed trees and power lines, so be extra cautious when walking outdoors. And all travelers in this busy season should expect delays and allow extra time. As the end of the year approaches, economists recommend people fully fund their retirement accounts for maximum tax benefit. It's great advice, except for the fact that 40% of Americans don't have retirement accounts. Oregon tried to rectify that situation 8 years ago by becoming the first state in the country to create its own retirement system. It now has assets of over $400 million. But as Christian Fodenvenzel reports, there's a twist.
Belinda Russell is an accounting specialist at Provoking Hope in McMinnville. It helps people with addiction. She began saving for her retirement back in 2017, the same year Oregon's new system, Oregon Saves, started. Now she has $15,000, but she's also 62 years of age.
In these days and times, that's not a lot of money, but I'm 100% grateful to this program because without it, I'd have zero.
The average retirement savings of a 60-year-old American is close to $250,000, but that's the average of people who actually save. Roughly 40% of Americans don't have any kind of retirement account. Oregon Saves was started to give Oregonians who don't have a retirement plan at work a way to save. It was designed to follow them from job to job and to come directly out of a paycheck.
The fact that it comes out before you even see it is huge.
She thinks many people simply don't have the financial discipline to set up a retirement account at an investment firm.
Because if you have to decide to walk down the street, you know, to your local, you know, you're not going to do it. You're not going to cash your check and take that money and deposit it there. You're going to cash that check and you're going to spend it.
By many yardsticks, Oregon Saves has been a real success. Some 147,000 Oregonians now have their own retirement accounts. The average enrollee invests about $200 a month and sets aside almost 7% of their income. It's been so successful, 19 other states have followed suit and set up their own systems. But Oregon Saves also has a problem, not with its numbers, but with human nature. People keep dipping into their savings.
You go in and when you you take money out, they ask if you want to pay federal and state taxes. I put zero.
Deborah Cross is a colleague of Russell's at Provoking Hope. Until a few years ago, she was saving 8% of her income, but then she needed money.
I was sick with COVID and my sister passed away, and so it was between prescriptions and paying for her services.
Of the 147,000 accounts in the Oregon Save system, more than 40% have had withdrawals. Many of those withdrawals are from people who have already retired, but another portion is from people like Cross who simply need the money. The result is that the average account balance at Oregon Saves is just $3,000. Oregon Treasurer Elizabeth Steiner.
Clearly $3,000 is not enough for retirement.
But she says that $3,000 average is a bit misleading. There are many enrollees who have hundreds of thousands of dollars. In addition, 1,700 new people are enrolling in the system every month, and their account balances start at nothing.
We're seeing that a significant percentage of savers are people in the age range of 26 to 30. So if you already have $3,000 in the bank at 30, and you're really working at saving, then your retirement's going to be very different.
Steiner says the state also has no plan to make it more difficult to get the money out of Oregon Saves.
People make these withdrawals, but they don't clean out their accounts. They take the minimum they need to solve whatever their immediate problem is, and they go right back to saving.
That's true for Deborah Cross. While she did pull out of her account, she's still contributing and says Oregon Saves gave her an appreciation for the power of compound interest.
When it first started, I couldn't believe how much I accumulated.
We calculated how much she'll have at 70 if she doesn't take any more money out, keeps paying in $200 a month, and earns a respectable 7% interest. It'll be $46,000, a third of which, almost $17,000, would have been generated by interest, and that's in just 12 years.
That's really nice if I don't touch it and just leave it there and let it draw interest.
Do you think you can do that or not?
Yeah, I can.
The urgency for people saving more is only growing. The Bipartisan Policy Center expects the nation's Social Security system to be significantly depleted in 8 years. So unless Congress acts before then, benefits would have to be reduced 23%.
I'm Christian Fodenvenzel reporting.
You're listening to KMUN News. If you have a news tip or story idea, get in touch. Email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN news team. That includes me, host and producer Skylar Butenchin, news intern Sylvia Thorpe, and news director Katie Frankowitz. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening.